The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
So, it's a by-election in Dublin Bay South, but could it be a form of national referendum? We have with us the Fine Gael candidate, Councillor James Gagan, the Fianna Fáil candidate, Councillor Deirdre Conroy, and the Sinn Féin candidate, Senator Lynn Boylan. Thank you all very much for being with us. This by-election because of the resignation of Owen Murphy, the Fine Gael TD, who used to be the Housing Minister. James Gagan, you say you want to be a voice for the generation of people who were locked out of the housing market. So a lot of people say that people are locked out of the housing market because of the failures of Owen Murphy during his time as housing minister. So why would somebody vote to put another Fine Gael person in as the voice for the or looking out for the housing market when he was the failure?
Well, the big challenge that we face now in society is housing, affordability of housing, and also in terms of provision of permanent accommodation for those who are in an emergency accommodation. And look, on Dublin City Council, I voted in favour of over 3,000 homes, most recently the O'Devany Garden site, which is a mixture of affordable purchase homes of between €260,000 to €300,000 and cost rental, which will be at a rent of €1,100 or less. And the solution to the housing crisis is greater public investment. Currently, one in three homes are being built by the state, and more private investment. And we need more supply, and we don't need people opposing the construction of homes. And just by way of example, on Dublin City Council, for example, Sinn Féin councillors have voted against 3,000 homes on the council. So there is no one simple, easy solution to the housing crisis. But what we absolutely need, particularly as we exit the pandemic, is more supply at scale, both public investment, public homes and public land, and private housing at the same time.
And I will give Lynn Boylan the chance to respond to that allegation in relation to Sinn Féin on the council. But the question I put to you was, in relation to Fine Gael, why would anyone vote for another Fine Gael person to replace the Fine Gael person who failed in the job?
Well, the issue is that this is the big challenge, and the pandemic has slowed down the construction of homes. We were on target to reach the 30,000 new homes that are required. I'm absolutely certain that over the next 2 to 3 years, you are going to see delivery of new homes at scale. And the reason I'm certain of that is because of the commitment that has been made in respect of capital investment.
Are you saying that Owen Murphy was a successful housing minister?
What I'm saying is that we need more homes. We need more homes as quickly as we can deliver them.
Because, hey, that's what you implied by blaming COVID for the slowdown in housing construction, as if things were going well under Owen Murphy's watch. Do you think they were?
The scale and supply of delivery of homes has not been quick enough. We all know that. And regrettably, the pandemic has slowed that down further. But with the Land and Development Agency that is now coming on stream, and with these Dublin City Council local authority-led projects, and don't forget, we have a big opportunity in this constituency in the Glass Bottle site, 3,500 homes, 600 of which are going to be affordable purchase homes.
That's local homes. And I will get to those in just a moment. Lynn Boylan, what about the claim that's been made by James Gagan, which has been repeated by many parties in recent times, that Sinn Féin votes against housing development when it gets to council level?
And it's complete distraction from trying to deflect away from the fact that Fine Gael have been in government for 10 years and every single metric on housing has gotten worse under their under them in government. But look, Sinn Féin don't vote against housing. What we vote against is transfers of a valuable resource, which is public land, being given to developers and sweetheart deals. But I'm glad to say that he brought up the Glass Bottle site, because Owen Murphy, the Fine Gael Minister for Housing, rejected a proposal by NAMA, and he himself rejected it. NAMA contacted Minister Owen Murphy himself directly and said, we will offer you this land at a discount, and Owen Murphy would not provide the funding for Dublin City Council to build on the Glass Bottle site. So that's communities in his own constituency that he has let down. I met the Glass Bottle group last night and they're saying, how can our children stay in our communities? How can we have affordable homes when now the Johnny Ronan group has bought the land over the odds?
But go back to the issue about the places where you have objected. O'Devany Gardens is not in this particular constituency, it is an example.
We have never rejected housing proposals. So when councillors have housing planning applications coming on board, we have never rejected housing proposals. What we have rejected is land transfers, and that's a very, very different thing. And I think the public will get it. Once we give that land to developers, it's gone. It's gone out of public ownership. We need to keep public land in public ownership and build, facilitate the councils building on that public land. And that's the way to deliver affordability.
Deirdre Conroy of Fianna Fáil, this issue of land at the Irish Glass Bottle site in Ringsend, which NAMA has sold to Johnny Ronan at a price believed to be around 250 million euro, which means that the price of the houses and apartments that are built on that site is going to go up dramatically. Why didn't Fianna Fáil Empower stop that happening?
Well, we're not in a position to know what the affordability is, and it must be affordable, and it's not a case of Fianna Fáil to at this stage to go back over that. It's
no,
3,000.
Dara O'Brien as Housing Minister surely could have stepped in and said, NAMA, rather than getting double the price, which was the original estimate for the land, because when you get a much bigger price in selling it, it means that the developers have to charge more for the houses and the apartments afterwards. So why didn't Fianna Fáil Empower say, this is not the way to go it, this land should be sold at a price that then allows affordable houses and apartments to be built and sold?
Housing is the core value of Fianna Fáil. That is an absolute fact. And we know the housing is an essential human right, and there isn't a case of this being oversold, because it won't, it can't happen. It has to be affordable, and there has to be the 10% minimum of social housing and of affordable housing. It's a straightforward case.
The issue that I'm asking to address is the price at which this public land was sold to private developers, who will now sell houses and apartments at prices that many people can't afford.
I have to ask why you think that that would be the case, because it can't be the case, because people have to be able to afford, and it has to be social housing as well and owner occupied, because this is
only a fraction of it.
Let me finish. If you don't mind, because this is the new government using every available resource to fix the crisis. We are dealing with housing crisis, not putting up more non-affordability. That's a fact. And in the less than 12 months, Fianna Fáil have passed the biggest housing budget in the history of the state, 3.3 billion euro, to have 220 million spent on homeless prevention, 690 million budget is on affordable homes, and the new housing plan, as James mentioned, 33,000 units per year is what we're after, and that is what Fianna Fáil are about, and that is what the new Minister for Housing is about. It's not a case of
delivered.
The Irish glass bottle.
James Gagan.
Look, I know Lynn is new to the issues really of the constituency, but I am surprised with some of the remarks that she's making about the glass bottle site. This was an agreement that was done with Minister Simon Coveney, in fact, and all parties, including people for profit, that affordable homes must be delivered through this scheme. They will not get planning permission unless affordable homes are delivered. And the answer now is to ensure that we have the correct amount of subsidy to ensure that the prices that the person is going to pay to purchase these affordable homes are truly affordable.
What's affordable in this constituency?
Well, what's affordable is something similar to O'Devany Gardens. O'Devany Gardens have been priced at 260 to 300,000 euro. And what Lynn said there...
So are you saying that's going to be the price for the houses and apartments
If I could just be allowed to finish. What Lynn said there was that Sinn Féin councillors don't vote against real housing. There is an exact project that they voted against. The planning application has gone in. Had they been successful, which they were in Oscar Traynor Road, leading a whole bunch of other councillors to block 1,000 homes, if they had been successful in O'Devany Gardens, those homes wouldn't be here. People are going to get into those homes and they're going to purchase them for 260 to 300,000 euro. And the reason they're going to be able to do that is because of the capital investment that the state is making to ensure that working people can have the opportunity to own an affordable home.
Owen Murphy was contacted directly by NAMA and offered that land at a discount. So that's a separate issue altogether to the SDZ, which of course Sinn Féin supported. This is one of the largest housing projects built within the city. Okay,
so you do support it.
We voted for it, of course we support it. But what we're saying, James, is why did Owen Murphy reject a discount deal from NAMA? The land has now been sold to the Johnny Ronan Group. Most of it's going to be built to rent, and there's no deal yet.
But that's not true that
hang
it
on,
must
James,
be built
James,
to rent.
I,
that's just
hang
not
on,
true.
I didn't interrupt
that's just
you.
Not true.
I didn't interrupt you, James, okay? The Dublin City Council have clearly said there is no deal on the table yet about what is the price of affordable that Johnny Ronan Group is going to offer Dublin City Council on affordable housing. So what are you telling the people in Ring's End?
Isn't our job as elected people to deliver affordable homes? That's our job. That's what I intend to do. I've given the example.
Tell the people listening, are you guaranteeing that the houses on the glass bottle site will be 250?
I will be a voice for affordable housing, and I will just like my record on Dublin City Council delivering homes for 260 to 300.
Are you saying on the radio to the people in Ring's End that you're guaranteeing that Johnny Ronan Group are going to sell the houses to DCC, the affordable houses at 250?
I'm saying,
because if you can pull that off, that would be impressive.
I'm seeing that the agreement that your party signed up to deliver these homes in affordable schemes,
and we're asking how is it going to be ensured to be affordable?
The whole purpose of affordable housing is that the state, if I could just be allowed to finish, the whole purpose of affordable housing is that capital investment subsidises the affordable price to ensure that working people can get the opportunity to own their own affordable home. And that's what's going to happen
on
this.
So you're saying 250.
I need to bring Deirdre in, and there's another thing I want to bring up, which is very important in this constituency and again nationwide, and that's rental prices. But in this constituency, there are many examples of apartment blocks, luxury-built apartment blocks, where many of the apartments are empty, where the owners are actually leaving them empty rather than accepting lower rents in the hope that they will be able to let them again subsequently when COVID passes. What do you think, as a Fianna Fáil candidate, should be done to ensure that these vacant apartments are let at fair prices?
And also in relation to what we're just discussing, in the four different local authorities of Dublin, over 5,000 housing units have been blocked and objected by Sinn Féin.
That's a serious problem. Sweetheart deals for developers, Deirdre. Okay.
Sweetheart deals for developers. At least 10,000 people could now have a home to live in.
Deirdre, could you answer the question
in relation
asked,
to,
please?
Yeah, but in relation to... how many people are you referring to that are not renting out their
There are hundreds of apartments in luxury blocks. Well, the Business Post has reported on this extensively. They're all in this particular constituency.
Well, that should be addressed definitely
by
the government, because one of the major issues that I've been writing about in newspapers for years is the derelict properties. So any properties that are empty, left empty, and not being available for people to rent or to repurchase, and I'm including historic buildings. That is why I want to have amendments to the Protected Structure Planning and Development Act, because we have thousands of historic buildings left empty. So if you're referring to private owners leaving their apartments empty, that is something that has to be addressed. We cannot leave.
In what way? Would you have special taxes levied on them or fines? What way?
Requests to rent them out, because even in the new system, the affordable housing bill, that the legislation that will be coming out in July, there will be including new cost rental, which is rental that has no profit in certain areas.
James Gagan.
The answer to the question is we need to seriously look at a vacant site tax, and the Taoiseach has already mentioned that. And if it is the case that there's going to be apartments in the middle of the affordability and supply crisis that we have that are not being rented out, essentially the assets are being sweated, I mean, that's just unconscionable, and we have to react with the requisite degree of urgency that is required. And if a vacant site tax is the answer, we need to get on and do it. I mean, on Dublin City Council, we already do it in respect of vacant site levies, and we've continually increased them. And look, we have to look at all these things in terms of land usage, occupancy usage. I also think in terms of living over the shop, you know, we need to come up with as many incentives as we can, particularly now in the pandemic, to get people living in the city centre so that we make livable cities. And that's what the 15-minute city idea is all about, that we make a livable city centre, because we don't know what kind of work transformation we're going to have as we exit the pandemic. There's a lot of hybrid work models, so we're going to have to balance the city centre between commercial office space and people actually living in the city. And there just can be no excuse for apartments being left vacant, and we have to do everything we can to ensure that they're filled.
Lynn Boylan, one of Sinn Féin's big policy platforms is a rent freeze. But what good does a rent freeze do when it comes to actually making more properties available for people to rent?
Well, it's a freeze on rent increases and then a refund of up to 1 month's rent back as a tax rebate. So it just brings down the cost. So it deals with the people who are renting, who are in dire situations because they've been left at the mercy of vulture funds. And even under Darragh O'Brien's proposal, it only taps a tiny percentage of people. almost half of the households in this constituency are rental properties. We need to be building communities. I agree with James Gagan. But how do you do that when you have different standards for rental properties? I mean, so people who, if you want them to live in a community and to put down roots in a community, then you have to build the proper standard accommodation. So build to rent has less storage space.
Is this a major issue for voters in this constituency? Because aren't an awful lot of the people in the apartments in this constituency foreign nationals who are working with the Facebooks and Googles and whatever, who actually are not eligible to vote in the by-election?
There's also a hell of a lot of other people who are living in the constituency who are renting. But the issue is, you want to create communities. So the idea of what the proposals that we've had under Fine Gael, the co-living, the student accommodation, it's transient populations. You're not building communities in that way. So we need to revoke the powers that it was Alan Kelly, I think, introduced them, but facilitated Owen Murphy, reducing the standards for rental properties. So create rental properties that people can actually live in and not just be transient. But as I said, we need to address the current crisis, which is people who are precarious around their tenure. They're paying too much in rent and they're facing increases now at the mercy of the 8% increases on their rent. And that will go a whole way to, I suppose, protecting the people who are currently renting.
I think we definitely need to move beyond this sense that, apartment dwellers are somehow transient workers. Like in Rathmines, for example, on Dublin City Council, we've been working on delivering age-friendly housing. And in many parts of this constituency, the construction of apartments may well facilitate people who want to move out of family homes at a certain age and create communities that are livable communities, and that would free up secondhand family homes. So we really need to move
Absolutely.
The structure of apartments towards, you know, like families to live in, for people to step down in. This is the type of community we're moving towards, and we need to do everything we can to ensure that we preserve that.
But then why did Owen Murphy reduce the standards for rental apartments? People who might want to rent, who might not want to buy. Why do they not have the right to dual aspect? Why do they not have the right to proper storage facilities? So it is about building communities, but you have to build apartments that are fit for purpose.
Well, the apartment standards that are built in Dublin City are at a much greater high level than some of the other European jurisdictions. And it's trying to get the balance right. As you know, apartments are very costly to build versus houses, and it's trying to get the balance right. But nobody wants a reduction of standards or going back to the bad old days of some of the apartment buildings.
Deirdre needs to have more time here. Yeah. Deirdre Conroy, where do you as a Fianna Fáil candidate stand on the recent announcement by Fine Gael Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue about increases in local property tax, something that's very relevant to perhaps many of the better off people in this particular constituency?
In terms of local property tax, which came up in 2013, I know it myself, and I'm Dublin City Councillor, it wasn't raised here, but the change that has come about was that for Dublin City Council, the needs here for the work that has to be done in this area is that we can't give it's a 20% away around the, you know, that, and in terms of means test is another system, because there are people, as we know, elderly people who are in homes that are perhaps considered expensive just because they're in the city, but they're not earning anything, so it shouldn't be called an asset. It's their home, so they shouldn't be asked to sell it, to move somewhere else, to give it up. So in terms of local property tax, it is possibly better to have it as a means test instead of just what people were told. Were told in the past. It's an asset. It's not an asset to have one home roof over your head.
Well, the first thing to say is that the government changes on local property tax are welcome. And in my opinion, based on, you know, some of the canvassing that I've done around the constituency, people are welcoming the changes for two reasons. One of the reasons is that in terms of the eligibility, they're increasing in terms of, income eligibility, in terms of what would be acceptable for a deferral of property tax, so that, you know, people who are of low cash incomes are not faced with major bills, and that can be put as a charge on the property into the future. And then the second reason people are welcoming it is because there's a recognition now that 100% of the local property tax that will be generated in Dublin City will go back into Dublin City. And you see, the issue with Sinn Féin's abolitionist movement when it comes to property taxes, they want more local services for the local areas that they want to represent, but they don't want to tell people how they're going to generate the revenue to pay for those local services. And the big change that the government have announced is that 100% of revenue generated will now go back into local services. And I think during the pandemic, we've all felt the benefit of our parks, of our local authorities and what they've done in terms of public spaces. And we need every euro we can get to ensure that they're preserved and bettered in the future.
Is this a unique selling point for Sinn Féin going around to perhaps the more expensive houses in the constituency, the 1 million and 2 million and 3 million euro houses, and telling the owners that you would abolish the local property tax for these people?
No, because we believe in taxing wealth, and we would be dealing with that in
not
a different issue.
Not if people have their wealth tied up in the family
well,
home.
Well, the local property tax is not fit for purpose, and that's why we oppose it. Because it's a tax on debt, it's a tax on the family home, and it takes no account of ability to pay. So there are people who are living in a property that might be worth a lot, they might be just on the pension. If they choose to defer it, as James said, there's punitive interest rates on deferring that. And also around resourcing local authorities, what happened with the local property tax is central government cut the funding to local authorities by the same amount that was raised by the local property tax.
But how
do you define individual wealth that you would presumably then try and tax if you don't include the family home? Because if you don't include the family home, you're providing an incentive for people to put as much of their wealth as possible into their property.
Well, we have put forward the costed proposals around how we would plug the gap of what the local property tax raises. But initially on the wealth tax, the government refuses to cost it for us because we produce a fully costed alternative budget every single year. They refuse to cost the wealth, but it's a tax on anything over 1 million. And I think most people listening at home would go, well, that's fair enough. But the local property tax is just not fit
that's
for purpose.
That's an extraordinary statement, Lynn to say that the government won't cost our alternative proposal, so I can't tell you how I'm going to generate the revenue.
No, we can't
tell
you
how, any sense.
James, we can't tell you how much because you refuse point blank year on year.
But this
to
is
cost.
Your proposal. You're saying abolish the local property
yes.
tax and we'll replace it with a revenue that the government won't
no,
tell us how much is going to be generated.
That's not what I
said. That doesn't even make any
actually,
sense.
That's absolutely not what I said.
Well,
No. Okay,
maybe if you listen
to me. I said where we would plug the whole of the local property tax has been accounted for in our alternative costed budget.
And where is
we
that
would
coming
then
from?
Have an additional wealth tax, which the government refused to cost. So we don't factor that
you
into
don't know how much it's going to
There's
generate.
One other topic I want to bring up briefly with each of you, and I'm going to focus on public transport as a very important issue. A lot of people, Deirdre Conroy, would say that Dublin gets everything when it comes to the provision of public transport. That's where all the investment is made. How do you want extra money spent in this constituency and where in it?
Well, in terms of Dublin getting everything, I can assure you that in Dublin Bay South, the major issues against the National Transport Authority are the idea of the 1970s bus system. Hundreds more buses going through people's gardens into the city centre. So that is not the
So are you against the bus connects and the bus highways that have been suggested?
The communities that I represent are all against this, the urban villages. And what we must have is the South West Underground Metro, like any other capital city. It will also bring about much more affordable housing in the greater Dublin area. And the people living out there in new villages will get in and out of the city faster and safer in the Metro Underground. That is what I'm asking the
Metro Underground to suit which areas of Dublin in particular?
I'm chair of the Public Transport Subcommittee. And we had a meeting yesterday with the NTA and the TII, and I have brought up the questions again. They're now at the stage of having pre-consultation with on board Planola, but it's the communities that still don't know where it's going, that their roads are being closed off, that bus gates are going up, and
but
all
I,
of this
I just
sort
charity,
of thing.
What parts so, of the constituency and how much money would this cost?
I've been asking for a feasibility study for 2 years. I'm now told that it will hopefully be ready in September. So the South West Metro should come from Stephen's Green out through Rathgar, Terenure and on its way out to Knocklyon. That's what we want.
Okay. What do you want to do for public transport in this constituency, Lynn?
Well, we absolutely need to invest heavily in public transport because we have climate targets that we have to meet, and transport is the second highest of our emitters. So we absolutely have to have public transport, and we need to get people out of their cars. Okay, in urban centres, we have to try and move away.
So
from
So do you believe in the bus
cars.
Corridors, which the are going to connects, take away met, a lot of front I'm, gardens? And
I met with the NTA yesterday on the Bus Connects proposals, and the NTA, in fairness now, have done four consultations with local communities to try and address concerns that have been raised. There are still some outstanding concerns, I think, on the Stanaway Road around the bus gates there, and the NTA are working with the local communities. But we need public transport, but we absolutely need to listen to what communities are saying and then find the best accommodation for that.
No, last word, and it's to you, James Gagan.
Two things. The Metro Southwest is an unbelievably positive opportunity. The feasibility study will be done, and I want to see it delivered for the people of Terenure and Rat Mines. And secondly, what hasn't been talked about yet, but I think we need a Lewis for Ringsend, for Pool Beg. And I mean, we're building 3,500 homes. We did the village application back in 2019, and we need the Lewis to go out there, and I think that'll be transformative for the area.
And I need to add, my other major public transport is South Dublin school bus system, because we all see on midterm breaks there are no cars on the road going into the city centre, and so we have got to reduce people driving the children to school when they have to be brought carefully. So we want a new school bus system. I've brought it to the Department of Education in the past, to Bus Éireann. The NTA have to take that on.
Thank you very much, Councillor Deirdre Conroy of Fianna Fáil, Councillor James Gagan of Fine Gael, and Senator Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin. And we will have more candidates with us on The Last Word here today FM next week.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.